Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
When I was 17, as I recall, I was diligent about fixing up my 63 Chevy Bel Air. That was a classic car. And I had worked really hard to sand all the rust spots off, and I had primed the areas that needed special attention. I'd even done a little work with Bondo, if anybody knows what that is. You fill in places that have rusted out. And I had gotten it all ready to be painted the next day by a professional. And so I was excitedly looking forward to that. I'd had the engine rebuilt, and so it ran really well. And I was excited about getting my car final details done. And I went to pick up a friend who was visiting. He was up from Florida, a guy I'd led to the Lord a few years before. And I went to Brevard, North Carolina, picked him up, and started back to the town of Montreat, where I lived. We were going along Highway 64 and having a nice conversation, and I felt like the Lord said, this was back in the days when seatbelts were not required, and I had seatbelts in the front of that thing, but I said, as we're driving, I said, "I think we ought to put on our seatbelts." I just felt like the Lord, and normally back then, I didn't drive with a seatbelt, but I just felt like the Lord said that. So I put the seatbelt on. He put his seatbelt on. I was not speeding, which was not always the case for me. But in this particular situation, we were just cruising along at the speed limit, and I came up over the crest of a hill about a minute and a half after I said we ought to put our seatbelts on. Came over the crest of a hill, and there was a car stopped in the road with its left turn signal on. And this car, I could immediately, when you're in an emergency, your brain processes things really fast. And I could see there was an elderly lady, white hair, in this car, and she had the headrest on the back of her seat all the way down against the back of the seat, which meant it was not going to do her any good in an accident. Instead, it would just snap her neck. She's waiting to make a left turn, and she can't turn yet because there's a great big dump truck coming up the hill the other way, and it's close to her, and it's moving fast. If I stay where I am in this lane, I'm going to hit her, her head's going to snap back, and she's going to be in bad shape if she lives. I can't go around her on the left because I would have a head-on collision with the dump truck, and that would not be helpful. So I, you know, obviously had already put on my brakes as I'm processing this, and I'm trying to get slowed down at least. And right at the last second, I swerved off onto the shoulder of the road and suddenly was confronted with another dilemma, a telephone pole. There's a telephone pole that I'm rapidly moving toward, and I thought, if I hit that thing, it's going to demolish my car. Over here, there were these lovely, soft-looking longleaf pines. And I looked at them, and I looked at that pole, and I thought, I'm going to go through the pines. I knew it would do some damage, but it wouldn't be as bad. And so that was my thought. Now, again, all this takes place in just split seconds, all right? But I thought, I'm going through the pines. And the Holy Spirit, who had told me to put on the seatbelts, the Holy Spirit said, "Hit the pole." I thought, that's crazy. I'm going through the pines. And the Holy Spirit said, "Hit the pole." I thought, well, that's nuts. I'm going through the pines. And the Holy Spirit said, hit the pole. I'm grateful to say that at that point I had known the Lord for more than a few years, and I had tried to make it a practice to do what God says. And so I didn't know why the Lord was telling me to hit the pole, but I gripped the steering wheel and went straight into the pole and totaled my car. But seconds after I hit that telephone pole, a woman came through the pine trees, and her first words were, "Oh my God, are you all right?" She and her children had been having a picnic right on the other side of the pines. And if I had gone through those pines, I would have killed that family. I was so grateful that instead of killing a family, I totaled my car. Now, Pastor Wood, that's amazing. That's remarkable. But how do I know if it's God? I'm so glad you asked that question. Because God's word is given to us in the scriptures. And if you spend a lot of time not just reading and studying the Bible, but seeking to do what God says in his word, then when the Holy Spirit prompts you to do something that is not what you would normally do, you learn to recognize his voice by practice. Look at Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. These are two great verses to memorize. This is God's word. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. God will show you what to do if you are trusting completely in him, not relying on your own intelligence, and acknowledging him in all your ways. That means you care about doing God's will more than you care about doing what comes naturally to you. So does that mean I'm not supposed to do anything that comes naturally? No, it doesn't mean that at all. It means that when you have to choose between what God says in his word and what you feel like doing, you go with what God says. Okay, so practically, that means I'm going to be driving around hitting telephone poles? No, that's the only time that's happened. But I want you to understand something. What it does mean is that when you're in a situation where it would be embarrassing to have to tell the truth, you tell the truth. Because God says we're not supposed to lie. And so, if I'm in a situation where if I tell the truth, I'm going to get in trouble, well, you're already in trouble. Because if you don't tell the truth, you're going to answer to God for it. Well, I think God might be nicer to get along with than the person who's going to be upset with me if I tell the truth. Tell the truth. Because God says so. But that's embarrassing. Yes. It's scary. Yes. But tell the truth. Do not lie.
You are listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. Pastor Wood is a popular speaker for family and marriage retreats, conferences, and pro-life fundraisers. If you are planning an event, a retreat, or conference, and would like to invite Pastor Wood to speak or teach, please visit pastorwood.org and fill out our speaker request form. At this site, you will also find over a dozen books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. Again, please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
What would be another example? Okay. Share your faith. That's an extension of telling the truth. When I was 14 years old, I loved God. I believed the Bible. And I used to tell people about Jesus. I went to hear a famous preacher named Stephen Alford preach. Great guy, great sermons. And I loved his preaching. I happened to be in the restroom right before the service, and he was there too, because even famous preachers have to use the restroom. And I said, "Dr. Alford, what are you preaching on tonight?" He said, "My text is, woe unto you, ye hypocrites." And I thought, oh boy, this is going to be good. He's going to put it to them tonight. And you know what? It was a great sermon, but he put it to me. I thought that hypocrites were people who were bad people, but who pretended to be good people. And that's true. But that's not the only kind of hypocrite there is. A hypocrite is also a Christian who hides their lamp under a basket, who doesn't want certain people to know that they're one of those strange folks who's on the narrow road. And so in certain environments, they hide their witness. And man, that was me. I mean, I was happy to talk to people about Jesus as long as it was a friendly audience. But when I got around certain people, I wanted to be, you know, back then it was called cool. I have no idea what it's called today because I'm not cool. I wanted to be bad to the bone. I wanted to be the kind of guy who was a man of mystery. Someone the girls would think, oh, wow, he's wild. I thought this would really be good if people didn't know, certain people didn't know, and they could kind of be surprised that I turned out to be a Christian if they got to know me well. Dr. Alford talked about the fact that if you're one way around this crowd and different around another crowd, you better be careful. And I realized I was a hypocrite. I wanted some people to think I was better than I was, and I wanted some people to think I was worse than I was. You've heard the expression, a wolf in sheep's clothing? Okay, have you heard that expression? Is that still spoken sometimes by grandparents? A wolf in sheep's clothing. It means that the person is really a wolf, but they pretend to be a sheep so that they can get in among the flock and do damage. Well, I was not a wolf in sheep's clothing, but sometimes I was a sheep in wolf's clothing. Okay? I was really God's child, but I was trying to pass sometimes as somebody who wasn't. It's hypocrisy. It's wrong. God says we're supposed to just be honest, and we're supposed to not hide our faith. So, trust in the Lord with all your heart. That starts with trusting him to save you, with recognizing that he's the only one who can. You don't just trust in him for part of it. You trust in him completely. You realize he's your only hope. You can't save yourself. I can't save myself. We can't be good enough. We've already messed up. And so our only hope is salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. That's our only hope. But having trusted him to save us, we want to please him because we love him, because he loves us. And so, how do I know what God wants? Well, Read the Bible. Study His Word. Learn what He says. I know my wife. We've been married almost 46 years. And I knew her for a year before we married. I mean, that's a long time to be married. And God's been kind. But if I got a letter from somebody and it pretended to be from my wife, but it wasn't her handwriting, I know it wasn't her. If the way the person wrote, let's say it was a typed letter, but they said, "Hey Jim, this is your babe. I'm writing to you from the beach, and I want you to know that you're my honey." I'd think, okay, I don't know who this is, but this is not Susan. That's not the way she writes. How do you know if those thoughts that you have are from God or from Satan or just from your imagination? Well, here's how. You learn what God talks like. How does God speak? What does He say? What does God care about? God is never going to tell you to do something that is against what He says in His Word. He'll never do that. Okay? Yeah, I know it's a really bizarre thought, but I felt like this morning I was supposed to come down here and blow up the building with all of us in it. Okay, that's crazy, and that's wicked, and that's not God. Okay? Pastor Wood, did you really have that thought this morning? No, I was trying to think of something that would be an example. I'm just telling you, God won't contradict Himself. God won't tell you to do something that's a sin, and God won't tell you it's okay to do something that's a sin. If God's Word says no, the answer is no. I don't have to pray about whether or not to rob a bank. Right now, the ranch could really use a bunch of money to buy some land next door to the ranch and expand what we're doing. I don't have enough money to do that myself. But Tennessee State Bank is right here in Ware's Valley. Okay? So, if I just disguise myself and go in and rob the bank, then maybe, that's crazy. I don't have to pray about that. That's nuts. God will never, I'm saying this repeatedly because a lot of people don't get it. God will never contradict Himself. God will never lie. And God will never lead you to do something that is sinful. So, if you practice doing what He says in His Word, then you can trust Him if He leads you to do something in an emergency situation, like drive into a telephone pole, which doesn't make any sense until after the fact. And then you say, oh, thank God. I'm so glad I obeyed. Let me tell you, God has led me over the years to do a lot of things people thought were crazy. The Lord led me to leave where I was employed at a children's home in Mississippi and go to Massachusetts and apply for one job that I had no guarantee of getting and move half of our belongings up there before we even applied for the job. We just brought our stuff with us, put it in storage, applied for the job, and went back to wait. And they said, you'll hear by this date whether or not you got the job. Well, we didn't hear anything. And another month went by. And another month went by. And it was time to move there. And we were saying goodbye to my wife's parents in Houston, Texas, about to drive to Massachusetts. And as we loaded up the car, my precious wife said, honey, what are we going to do? I said, what do you mean? She said, well, we never heard from Gordon College, so what are we going to do? I said, we're going to work at Gordon College. Because the Lord told me that that's what we were going to do. And she said, but what if it doesn't happen? I said, then you can put me in a mental hospital. Because the fact of the matter is, I am so sure God told me this, that we're going to go. I said, will you go with me? She said, well, I promised you when I married you, I'd go wherever you go. And yes, I'll go with you. I said, okay, let's pray. We sat down on the driveway of her parents' home. We held hands and we prayed and just said, Lord, we're doing this because we believe you told us to. So please guide us and provide for us and we'll give you all the praise. As we stood up, how long does it take a young person to get into a standing position from sitting on the floor? Not long. Between the time we said amen and the time we got to our feet, we weren't even up. We were standing when my mother-in-law came to the back door and said, Susie, telephone call. It was Gordon College saying we had the job. Well, why didn't God do that sooner so we didn't have all that? Because he was teaching us to trust in the Lord with all our hearts and not rely on our own understanding, but instead to acknowledge him in all of our ways, knowing that he will direct our paths. A lot of people thought I was crazy when we left the church in Atlanta, a very nice situation, to come up here to a piece of raw land, no guarantee of a salary, and start a children's home. Pastor, what are you, just burned out? Was there some sort of scandal? Why would you do that? Because God told me to. I'm going to tell you one more story about trusting the Lord. When I was leaving Atlanta, I went to the church to offer my resignation to the chairman of the personnel committee. And on the way there, my wife, who was, God bless her, been fabulous all these years, she said, I'm willing to go with you, but it sure would be helpful if God would do something to confirm this for me. And I said, well, what would it take to confirm it? She said, well, I don't know. Grocery money would be nice. And I said, well, how much do we spend on grocery? Or I said, how much grocery money? She said, 6 months? And I said, okay, how much do we spend on groceries in 6 months? And she said, I don't know. And I said, well, how much do we spend a week? And she said, including paper products? I said, yes. So she named an amount. And I said, okay, multiply that times 26 weeks. That's 6 months. So she did the math, and she said it would be this much. I said, let's pray. I said, Father, we're going to do what you've told us to do, but it would mean a lot if you would please give us this amount of money so that my wife will have it confirmed for her that I'm doing what you're saying to do. In Jesus' name, amen. I went on to the church, submitted my resignation because that's what God had said to do. And I'll compress it just to tell you this. God gave us that amount of money, that exact amount in cash that day from a person who didn't know about that prayer. You understand? Well, that's amazing. Yeah, I want you to understand, we're not dealing with a theory here. We're dealing with the living God. He's real. He loves you. He knows everything. And he wants you to trust him with all your heart, not rely on your own smarts, which he gave you, by the way, and acknowledge him in everything, and he will direct your path. He'll make your path straight. You understand? That is the real life of a Christian. It's not make-believe. It's not just for certain special people. It's for God's people who are on a narrow road that most people have never entered. I'm pleading with you. Trust him. He's trustworthy.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.com. pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.